achieved by a classic. A bubbling up of untamed desire and raw feeling from the depths of our being. That, too, must be the function of classic literature. To reshape the heart, mind, and spirit of all. Moving us on to greater heights of understanding is also well within the power of the classics. Here we first imagine, then create, and finally pass on the very best of the literary realm from both then and now. This is our only mandate. So we welcome you, one and all, young and old, schooled and enterprising, to the wonderful world of literature's greatest triumphs and word portraits from the ever-changing, always engaging human spirit. This is classic literature. David Herbert Lawrence, or D.H. Lawrence, was born in September of 1885. He was an English writer and poet. His collected works represent, among other things, an extended reflection on the dehumanizing effects of modernity and industrialization. Lawrence's writing explores issues such as sexuality, emotional health, vitality, spontaneity, and instinct. His works include Sons and Lovers, The Rainbow, Women in Love, and Lady Chatterley's Lover. Lawrence's opinions earned him many enemies, and he endured official persecution, censorship, and misrepresentation of his creative work throughout the second half of his life, much of which he spent in a voluntary exile he called his Savage Pilgrimage. E.M. Forrester, in an obituary notice, challenged this widely held view, describing him as the greatest imaginative novelist of our generation. Later, the literary critic F.R. Leavis championed both his artistic integrity and his moral seriousness.
The Lost Girl by D.H. Lawrence, Chapter 1. The Decline of Manchester House. Take a mining townlet like Woodhouse, with a population of 10,000 people, and three generations behind it. This space of three generations argues a certain well-established society. The old county has fled from the site of so much disembowelled coal to flourish on mineral rights in regions still idyllic. Remains one great and inaccessible magnate, the local coal owner, three generations old, and clambering on the bottom step of the county, kicking off the mass below. Rule him out. A well-established society in Woodhouse, full of fine shades, ranging from the dark of coal dust to grit of stonemason and sawdust of timber merchant, through the lustre of lard and butter and meat, to the perfume of the chemist and the disinfectant of the doctor. On to the serene gold tarnish of bank managers, cashiers for the firm, clergymen and such like, as far as the automobile refulgence of the general manager of all the collieries. Here the ne plus ultra. The general manager lives in the shrubberied seclusion of the so-called manor. The genuine hall, abandoned by the county, has been taken over as offices by the firm. Here we are, then. A vast substratum of colliers, a thick sprinkling of tradespeople intermingled with small employers of labour, and diversified by elementary schoolmasters and nonconformist clergy. A higher layer of bank managers, rich millers and well-to-do ironmasters, episcopal clergy and the managers of colliers, then the rich and sticky cherry of the local coal owner glistening over all. Such the complicated social system of a small industrial town in the Midlands of England in this year of grace 1920. But let us go back.